talking with the KSHSAA representative. We got Jeremy Holiday here. Crittenden Prophet is here as well, and we'll be joined by Wade Gerstner as we're going to kind of preview every single state matchup here over the next 24 to 36 hours. Gentlemen, it's championship weekend. We can't even say Saturday anymore, Boss, because we're here on a Friday now.
It's a little bit different, isn't it? A little Friday night game for a state championship, but it's a pretty cool environment. We got all the folks behind us doing the tailgate thing and just kind of leading up to the start of this game. This could be a heck of a good matchup.
Yeah, I'll jump in here as well, and excited to broadcast the third consecutive state championship here for Nemaha Central. And the path for Nemaha this year was a little bit different. I think it was probably their toughest playoff stretch that they had to go to get to this game. And boy, that week one game seemed like a long time ago when they had that 26-game winning streak snapped and maybe thought, you know, people around the media world in Kansas thought maybe, well, you know, they lost some pieces, you know, maybe not going to be maybe quite to what they were the last couple of years, but they haven't lost since, and obviously they're here once again in a chance at a three-peat. And, you know, for southeast of Saline, think about this. Trojans haven't lost a regular season game in 5 years.
Yeah.
They haven't lost a regular season game in 5 years yet. The last couple of years, they've slipped up here in the sub-state round. They lost in the sectionals, and for as good as they have been over the last 4 or 5 years, they're only looking for their second state championship in school history. 2005, they won the 3A championship. But besides Nemaha Central, this has been the best team in the state without actually having an opportunity to play in the state championship. Basically, from week 3 or 4 on, these two teams were number one and number two in the state.
Yeah.
And it's been that way ever since. And both teams had pretty difficult paths to get here, and yet number one and number two are here. And it's the two best teams in the state, and we're excited to bring it to you.
This is what we wanted to see, especially when you look across the state. You want number one versus number two. You want the two best teams. I forgot to mention, I'd be remiss not to, we got Mr. Troy Prophet on site as well. But, B-Tad, you followed Nemaha a lot this year. You've had a few of their games. Boz and I, every single Friday night, we recap the games of the week, and we're always talking about a couple different kids. Boz, one specific kid, who we usually talk about from Nemaha Central.
What's his name, Carter?
Hutt Hike. Come on now. Carter Hutt Hike. We've got, we're going to break down this roster in general. But B-Tad, I want to get your first impression on what you've seen so far this season from Nemaha Central. You mentioned the week one, I guess you could say, stubbing of the toe. But since then, this Thunder team, just like they like to say, they're rolling right now.
Yeah, and again, the schedule with the new Big East League, I think, played kind of a part in the success here late in the year. The teams that they had to play early on in the season with Silver Lake, Rossville, and back-to-back weeks, beating both of those teams and then having to travel all the way down to take on a Chanute team in southeast Kansas in week 4. At the time, a top 5 ranking in 4A. They went down and won a defensive battle in that one, but you know, the district wasn't quite up to par. You know, Sabetha, they took a hit this year. They were still solid, but not quite the Sabetha team we had seen in the last couple of years. But obviously taking care of Sabetha, you know, early on in the playoffs, Osage City and then Council Grove last week. That Osage City team, I tell you, besides southeast of Saline today, I think was the best team they have probably faced this year. And multiple times in that game in the second half, looked like an opportunity. Maybe the Thunder were going to slip up and maybe the season was going to end. But every time I've watched them here in the playoffs, when they have absolutely needed a play, they have gotten it. And Carter Hike obviously is putting up the numbers again and has a chance to be the offensive player of the year. You can also credit how good he is on defense as well in the back end. I mean, you can make an argument that he might be the best defensive player, one of the best defensive players in the state. But it's some of the guys around him that have made some big plays here in the last couple of weeks. Caleb Strothman, he had the big kickoff return that set up that final touchdown, which put him up last week, 21-6, ultimately would go on to be the final score. But again, they lost a kid in Sam Nordis early in the year who is a tremendous athlete and a fantastic baseball player. But again, it's been a lot of fun watching these guys, and I think the progression of the offensive line has been really good as well because they lost some big hosses up front. Those guys have stepped in. Abram Kime has been great. Reese Garrity as well, both those guys' first team Big East League selections. They've kind of just continued to grow throughout the year, and this is going to be their toughest test. The interior, when we talk keys to the game, the interior on both sides of the ball, it's going to be tough for Nemaha because southeast of Saline, no joke, they got some heavy hosses up front on both sides, and they're going to have their hands full here today.
Yeah, Boz, I want to bring you in and talk about the Thunder a little bit again when we see them every single week when we're doing our recap of the games. I mean, we're talking same guys a lot of times, but it's the team aspect of it. Coach Glassick has done a great job with this team, as Brandon just alluded to, having to replace some guys and some guys filling in some key roles this year.
Yeah, you know, last week on the scoreboard show, I wanted to make sure we gave a little shout-out today. This offensive line for Nemaha Central early in the season, we say it a lot. They stubbed their toe. They really didn't. Marysville is a really good football team, but they were filling some gaps. They had some key pieces that they had to figure out. Kind of got beat up a little bit in that game, but since that point, I'm going to tell you what, Abram Keim, Hendricks Wall, Reese Garrity, Kyler Gamstrom, Daniel Childers, or Childress, Eli Sudbeck, and Logan Dieters, those boys have done a job. You don't the offense for Nemohan Central, I mean, they've rushed the ball a ton this season, averaging 328 yards a game, a ton of those coming, 237 on the ground. They don't rush the ball like that. They don't put out nearly 4,000 yards of total offense without the offensive line getting the job done.
No doubt about it. B-Tad, we're going to switch sides here. We're going to talk a little bit about Southeast of Saline. You alluded to it a little bit earlier on about a team that hasn't lost a regular season game in quite some time. Well, it's postseason time, and that's where they found some struggles. Before we get into keys, I want, again, your initial reaction of this type of a matchup between two big powerhouses here tonight.
Yeah, we mentioned kind of before we got on here that these are basically the number one and number two ranked teams. Obviously, Nemaha started the season as the number one ranked team, but then they slip up to Marysville. They fall a couple spots in the rankings. I think after the week three win, they get back up to number two behind Saline, and those two have been 1-2, you know, in the classification ever since. Saline's 53-4 over the last 5 years, and it's crazy to think that they haven't been, you know, at least to one state championship game. And you could have argued the last 2 years that they were the best team outside of Nemaha Central, yet they don't get there. But again, you still got to play the game. It's not about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Jimmies and the Joes might outplay the X's and the O's. And, you know, last year they, they lose to, Hoisington in the sectional round. Obviously they got some revenge on them this year. And then 2 years ago they lost a 49-42 game to Kingman in the sub-state round. And then they were 3A a few years ago as well. So they've only been back to the 2A classification here in the last 2 or 3 years or so, but this has been maybe their best team, you know, over this 5-year stretch, which is crazy to think about because they haven't lost a regular season game in 5 years. But this is the most balanced offense that Nemaha is going to face here in 2024. They are very efficient on both sides. But I will say this, last week, talking to Michael Glatzik, you'll have a chance to hear it in the pregame show here in just a little bit. We'll be on the air at 5:30 and hear a conversation I had with him earlier in the week. We were talking about that game that Southeast of Saline was on their heels. They were about to lose.
Yeah.
They had to drive 81 yards in 40 seconds and get a walk-off 25-yard touchdown pass to beat Beloit. It was the second time they had played this year, and Beloit had them.
Yeah.
And Coach Glatzik thought, well, even Southeast of Saline's coach would probably tell you that they were dominated in that game. Beloit dominated that game. They controlled time of possession. They were running it all over Southeast of Saline, yet when they had to make plays, they made the plays, and that's usually where the better teams usually shine. But their quarterback is very good. He is only a junior. He has thrown for over 2,000 yards. They have a very good running back, over 1,300 yards. They have arguably the best wide receiver that they are going to see. And when I just talk about the balance, they have a near 1,000-yard receiver. They have some other guys on the outside that, you know, can make some plays. And this offense is by far and away the best that Nemaha is going to see this year. They're the most balanced, the most yards, most points, you know, for the most part. And this Southeast of Saline team is going to be – I just expect a really good game. Let's be real. It's the two best teams, and Nemaha is going to have their hands full. And finally, the Trojans have broken through after feeling like they should have been here maybe the last couple of years. So I'm sure that's kind of a chip on their shoulder too.
Well, and I think that's a big thing with Southeast. When you look at this team, the balance. This team, you mentioned it, they are incredibly balanced. 178 passing yards per game, 240 rushing yards per game. They spread the ball around. It's going to be really hard for Nemaha's defense. Can't focus on one thing. They're going to have to stop the run, stop the pass. You mentioned the senior wide receiver, Tucker Thaxton. Watched some video on him. Dude runs really good routes. He can get out on in the towards the sidelines, out routes, but he also can stretch the field. He's a speedy guy that can get down the field. So this is going to be a really interesting matchup. You talked about the quarterback, Gannon Jacobson. This dude throws the ball all over the field, over 2,000 yards this season.
Yeah.
Also rushes the ball a ton. I mean, he's got almost 720 rushing yards with 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And 31 passing touchdowns. I mean, this is a very talented Southeast team.
Yeah, he threw for 366 and 5 touchdowns last week.
Yeah. Yeah,
and had to have that fifth one, obviously, be the biggest
to make
one.
It.
As time expired, a 25-yard pass to win that game. And like I said, you'll hear it from Coach Glatzik. He thought maybe Beloit kind of dominated that game, but you play till the clock hits zeros, and it took the absolute final play of the game for Southeast of Saline to get here. That would have been devastating for them, considering how good they've been over the last 5 years. But again, I mentioned kind of the chip on the shoulder. They could have been here. This could have been a third consecutive matchup with these two teams, you know, in the state championship game. Didn't work out that way, but they're going to be antsy and ready to go. And, you know, Coach Glassick's going to have these kids ready to play. This is nothing new for them. And, and obviously we got the two best teams, and, you know, they all had to fight in tough playoff games to get here, but they both did, and we're excited.
We're also on Facebook Live on the Kansland Facebook page. You can get a nice view of the Friday Nighters. They're behind us right now tailgating and having a good time getting ready for their football competition tonight against Southeast of Saline. Again, it's Nemaha Central trying to go for a three-peat here tonight, and this is an opportunity that doesn't come very often, and the Thunder are trying to strike to make that a reality here for Nemaha Central. We're going to be talking also Centralia Panther football as well as Axtell Eagle football here. This is our kickoff to or tailgate pregame to kickoff show here at the Hutch Sports Arena, where we're going to talk about all three of our local teams at the state championship games. Only game tonight is the one we're at here in Hutch. It's Nemaha Central versus Southeast of Saline. We'll be talking with Wade Gerstner in a little bit, also Crendon Prophet, and a special guest, Jeremy Holliday from KSHSAA, will be joining us as well. But we've only got a couple minutes left. I'm going to get both of your guys' keys to the game here. Bob and I will make a prediction here in about probably 45 minutes from now. But, Brandon, I know you're not picking games, but I want to know your keys for the game for the Thunder to try to get their third straight state title.
Well, again, it's Carter Hike. It starts with him on the offensive side. You know, he's going to get his carries. He's had 90-plus carries in the last 2 weeks, and you know it's coming, yet team struggled to stop. And Council Grove last week held him to 19 carries for 43 yards in the first half. Yet, he still finished with a buck 80 and three touchdowns. But you have to put four quarters like that together. I'm sure Southeast of Saline, they watched that footage from last week. They saw what they were able to do in the first half. You got to bottle him up as much as possible. It's crazy to say that if you hold Carter Hike to 150 yards, I think that's pretty good. Yeah, I think you give yourself a really good opportunity. And, again, this Nemaha Central, they don't pass a lot, but they do pass more than they did last year. So I think that opens things up a little bit. You're going to see some other guys make some plays on the outside. They will have to throw it a little bit because, again, I think the size and the physicality up front for Southeast of Saline could bottle things up at time. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Carter Hike, to make some plays. He's going to get hit behind the line of scrimmage. They get back there quickly. They have a ton of tackles for loss. They average over nearly two sacks a game. They're going to put a lot of pressure on them. And now on the other side for Nemaha Central defensively, you just got to be on your toes. Osage City a couple weeks ago, they were screen, 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 and then we'll try to beat you deep. This is a more traditional offense that they're going to see, yet they're so balanced. So it can come pass and run, pass, run. They're going to switch it up on you a lot, but they're going to take shots. It's a more pro-style traditional offense. And then, again, defensively, how Southeast of Saline's going to do it. They're going to shift. They're going to move. They're going to stunt. They're going to cross. They're going to show blitz but not blitz, and then they're going to bring the house. It's just they do literally everything according to Coach Glassick, and, again, it's just the most balanced team that they're going to see.
Yeah.
And with limited prep in the holiday, that might make it a little bit challenging for Nemaha Central. But, again, at the end of the day, it starts with Carter Hike, but they're going to have to keep Southeast of Saline behind the sticks, you know, limit those plays on first down. I think you need to get them second and eight, second and nine, not second and four, second and three. I think if Nemaha can avoid giving up big plays on first down, I think that's going to be crucial in this game. Nemaha tackles really well. They don't miss a lot of tackles. They don't have guys bounce and break off of them. So tackling, again, it seems so simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just tackle. Yeah, well, you still got to do it. But, again, they're just so balanced, Southeast of Saline. They're going to use four or five different guys on the outside. We mentioned the 1,000-yard receiver in Thaxton. They're going to feed him. He's going to get 10, 12 targets in this game. That'll put some pressure on the DBs for Nemaha Central. But I think the line of scrimmage, keeping the big play away on first and second down, you know, give them an opportunity to go third, five, third and longer. And Southeast of Saline, they're going to be efficient, but you just limit the big play. They'll be all right. We'll see.
All right. Boz, quickly give me your keys for this matchup, and we'll pick it here in a little bit.
All right. Here's my deal. Brandon talked about it all starts with Carter Hike. It does, but the key to tonight's game is the offensive line.
Okay.
Abram Keim, Hendricks Wall, Reese Garrity, Kyler Ganstrom, Daniel Childress. They've got to do the job. Southeast has some big dudes up front. It all starts with those guys, those dogs in the trenches.
All right, we'll circle back with Nemahan here in just a little bit. B-Tab, have a great call tonight,
yep.
My friend.
Love you guys.
You can listen to Brandon Tabman on 92.1 and right here on 103.9. Pregame for that game is at 5:30. Make sure you tune in to B-Tab here tonight. Go get yourself a third straight state title call, my friend.
Hey. Just an honor to be here, man. We've done it 2 years in a row. Now we just got to make it through. We weren't going to miss it. So it's been an honor. Obviously, all the people behind us, great support here. They have as good a support as any school we cover, and they come out in droves, and they're obviously here having a good time, and we appreciate their support. But just glad to bring it, man. We're excited. We're prepped. We're ready to go.
All right. It's Road to a Championship presented by Giant Communications. We're not taking any breaks, guys. This is straight through. This is commercial-free pregame show here live from Hutch Sports Complex. We're looking right at Gowans Field. We're going to have Jeremy Holliday join us here in just a second as he will kind of give us an update on why we're looking at a Friday and a Saturday. We're going to talk with Crittenden Prophet here in just a few minutes. He's going to help us break down Centralia. Axtell tomorrow morning, and then Wade Gerstner will join us on the phone and talk Centralia football, and we will also then pick every single game in the final 5 minutes of our show, leading you up to Brandon Tabman's pregame. It's all coming up. That's at 5:30, so we're taking you till 5:25 here today. Thanks especially to Kurt Kilman back at the studios, working hard for us to allow for this to happen. But Jeremy Holliday, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure to join you two. You guys know that.
Yeah, it's a great day to have Jeremy Holliday here. We call him Jay Hall. He's a good friend of ours. Tell me a little bit about it, how now we've got, instead of state title games all in one day, people having to pick and choose, now we've got a diversity and an option. And tell me about the process that went through to get this where it's at now.
Yeah, I think we talked to our neighboring states quite a bit, and they've been doing stuff like this year in and year out as far as multiple sites, not the same start time, and it's not that what we had thought was broken, but it was, hey, let's just revamp something.
Sure.
Let's take a look at a different option. And as you'll see, three sites. We haven't done that since 1993. Excited about that. We hate leaving communities, but we know the communities we're at are going to do a great job. I'm excited for Greensburg.
Yeah.
Just the story of that town, obviously, and what they've put into rebuilding that. And I know they're pumped up for it. And this is just a way for a casual football team,
yeah,
or fan to see every game. They can literally see every game they want to, whether it's traveling to different spots or online, of course, because we have staggered start times. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, the ability. I mean, you had 6 that kicked off at 2:00 this afternoon. Our kickoff here in Hutch starts in just over an hour from now. But what was it? Was the idea of, you know, now we allow these fans to be able to take in multiple sites. Was that,
yeah,
something that you felt like the fans and the member schools, communities wanted?
Yeah, we felt like fans and schools and media, for sure. I mean, talk about you guys.
Yeah,
This makes, I think it makes life easier, but
yes,
maybe not. I don't know. Adds another day to your plate. But we've heard it over the years that, hey, it'd be nice just to consolidate this a little bit and have different start times, for sure. So
yeah,
just trying something different. I wouldn't say there was any one reason, like, hey, we need to do this.
Sure.
It's just, I think hopefully it'll be great for communities. Add a little more buzz. You know, the best event we do is probably the track and field event. And
oh,
guess,
yeah,
what?
Absolutely.
That's at one location. You get to see multiple events. So, yeah, just something new, and I like it so far.
Talk about Greensburg a little bit. You,
yeah,
mentioned that. I saw a post on social media. Greensburg had the hay bales painted with all the teams,
yeah,
that were going to be out there.
Yep. Yep.
When you guys were trying to get that decision, I mean, what all boils down to that? You,
well,
talked about,
yeah,
the story even.
Yeah, the big one there is it's the only full turf 8-man field, 8-player,
yeah,
field that is out there. So that's a big attraction.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've been in Newton for a long, long time, and they did a great job. And having three games there was going to be a little challenging. I'm sure they would have done a great,
sure,
job. But we went over to Greensburg and said, "Hey, what do you think about this?"
Yeah.
And it, you know, you're kind of, they don't obviously may not have the most hotels in the state by any stretch, but you know, talking through it, they said, "Yeah, let's give it a try." And you talk, small town communities are going to do whatever they can to make a heck of an,
yeah,
impression.
Absolutely.
And so. So far they have, and I think people, when they show up, they're going to leave thinking, I can't wait to come back.
Well, I can assure you that our small-town community that's going to be out there, man, the,
yeah,
entire community of Axtell will be there,
right,
and the neighboring towns as well. So we're super excited for that. You mentioned on the media side of it, we're ecstatic that we can be at multiple locations and still be able to cover at staggered times. I think that's so,
yeah,
important for the fan bases,
yeah,
and for this, the communities in general, to be able to, you know, not have to pick and choose which one you're going to listen to or watch or go visit or something like that. Now the ability of the stagger time, I think it's great. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for, you know, the work you guys do. You know, it doesn't go unnoticed. And, yeah, just appreciate you always working hard for the member schools.
Yeah, same to you guys. I'm listening to all your breakdown of this game. And it's like, and I just know you guys are everywhere every Friday in Northeast Kansas for sure and beyond probably. But yeah. So it's appreciative of what you guys do too.
Well, Jay Hall, we're going to have to keep on moving here, brother, but I appreciate you coming down. I know you got a meeting
guys.
To get to.
Yep.
Again, Jeremy Hawley with the KSHSAA sitting in with us here and just giving us an update on kind of why everything is the way it is right now. Boss, I love it. Yeah, we'll bring Crennan in here in just a minute, but I love the idea of where we're at right now with the staggered time, right?
The staggered time thing is everything. I think there was probably a little bit of pushback saying we're going to take some schools out.
Yeah.
I mean, some host sites.
Yeah.
But that's the advantage is you don't have to just watch one game and then be on your phone trying to find scores from the other games going on at the same time.
Right.
Now you can, I mean, we're earlier today, like, okay, what's happening with 6A? What's that all about? We were obviously on our way up here, but different times, somebody can watch that game. Then they can turn into this game.
Yep.
Tomorrow going to be the same situation. I think the staggered times makes it really cool for the average person to stay in touch with what's going on.
Yeah, and I got a special treat here for the Friday Nighters. Kurt's back in the studio. Go ahead, my friend, and feed that down the line. This is something that when you're sitting in Seneca, this is something that you hear pretty frequently that we're going to have for you here in just a second. It's something that the Thunder faithful are usually used to hearing. Crennan, we're bringing Crennan Prophet in right now. Kurt, whenever you're ready, go ahead. And I want to get your thoughts. You've seen Nemahaw a couple times this year. With the get back to the state title, there it is. So go ahead and keep playing that, Kurt. But tell me a little bit about Nemahaw from your perspective.
From what I hear from you, it's about Carter Hike, right?
Right.
Is that what it is? Yeah, no, Carter Hike, big body, good quarterback. You know, I've been calling Axel, and I've been calling Carter Hike, big body.
Now we wanted to get a little bit of a thunderstruck,
thunderstruck.
You know,
let's
get
go.
That thunder rolling here at Gowan Stadium. It's
Come
a beautiful
on.
Night, though. You know, I'm telling you right now that the temperature, we're bundled up here. If you're watching online, you can tell that we're cold.
It's chilly.
It's chilly, and that sun is starting to set already. But we got some great football games. We're going to bring Crennan in now because he referenced Axtell. We're talking Axtell Eagle football now as Axtell, they're trying to make or continue on with history. 51 straight wins. They have won 3 straight state titles, trying to make it 4 now. And tell me a little bit, Crennan, we'll bring you in here right now, of the ability for this Eagles team to continue to do what they do with reloading and revamping. What have you noticed as you've been prepping for this game today or tomorrow against Victoria?
Well, I'll tell you what. You say it's a cold day. It's not a cold day when Axel's around. You get real warm real quick because the energy, it just pops. This team, they get going real quick. Brandon Schmosley, you got Eli Brockstrom, Landon Schmitz, all those guys in the backfield, they really just expand this team. And I talked to Eric Detweiler this morning. The big point that we talked about was that revamping of the offensive line. He brought back Bussing, but, you know, he had to kind of renew the guards. And that's been the play that has been successful this year is that upfront blocking, being able to get to the secondary level and 8-man. And then also, not just that, but those ends that are able to come up there and also chip those linebackers inside and get those. Oh, it's been the pitch option. That's been the primary run game. That's what Axel ran last week against Frankfurt. That's what they accumulated over 200 yards rushing from. And that's what this team has really dominated with over 2,000 rushing yards this season from is their incredible run game. Eli Brockstrom, Brandon Schmosley, between both of those guys, they opened that game so much, and it also leads into the passing game with over 1,000 passing yards on the season as well from Schmosley. This is a team that hadn't fumbled all season long running the football until last week. They had 2 fumbles, only lost 1 and couldn't collect, but I'll tell you what, they know how to protect the football, and they do a great job at it, and they do a great job of taking away the football on defense. Landon Schmitz talked about him as a running back last week. As a defensive back, he had 2 interceptions. This team has 11 interceptions on the season. Defensively, they're a lockdown team as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. about it. They're taking on a Victoria team that is a team that, you know, they got some familiarity between these two. Axel and Victoria, you know, they play Osborne. They play some like opponents in the postseason. And just tell me a little bit, Boz, I'm going to go with you on this one. What's it going to take for this Axel Eagles team? I mean, 51 straight wins. And we talked to Coach Detweiler multiple times this season on the scoreboard show, and we talked to him in person. This is a guy that is just, okay, next game up, next man up. This is that mentality.
It's just another game.
Yeah.
As much as we want to hype it up and the streak and the back-to-back-to-back-to-back state title, it's another game.
Yeah.
And that's his approach, and I think that's the way he's gotten his guys to really buy in. It's just another game. But here's the thing with Axel. They have so many weapons. They're so physical. Brandon Schmelzley, Eli Brockstrom, we talk about those guys a lot. And Brandon Schmelzley as quarterback, if you're the defense trying to slow down this offense, how do you do it?
Yeah.
They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. If you have good pass protection deep, then Schmelzley's going to scramble and gain 30, 40 yards.
Yep.
They spread you out. They're running trips, formations. You don't see a ton of that in eight-man football. They put so much pressure on the defense. You take away one option, they've got another one that they're going to hit you with. They're so efficient offensively. It's going to be a good matchup because Victoria is a real physical team.
Yeah.
And they've got some dudes that have put up some numbers as well.
We'll talk more details here in just a second. But this is, whether you're watching it, whether you're listening to it, this is presented by Giant Communications. We are mobile on site because of Giant Mobile. Did you realize after the first of the year, Giant Communications is going to have an opportunity for you using the America's most reliable network for you to have great cell service and a provider that's local through Giant Communications. Learn more at giantcomm.net or call them at 785-362-9331. Giant Communications, Giant Mobile, coming soon after the new year. Make sure you're ready for that because your pricing you're paying right now, well, it's going to be a little bit cheaper for you using a local community connection like Giant Communications. All right, hey, Crendon, let's get back into it here. Victoria's a team, like Boz just mentioned, they got some explosivity with them. They got the ability to really put some stress maybe on that Axel defense. What are you preparing for?
Well, let me tell you, Boz said plenty of weapons on this Axel team. Eight players on this team have a receiving touchdown, seven have a rushing touchdown, three have a passing touchdown. That is just the extension of this team. And for Victoria Knights, again, it's about stopping the run game. But when I was talking to Eric Detweiler, their linebackers, the Axel linebackers, between Brockstrom and the rest of them, Detweiler, they accumulate most of the tackles, a third of the tackles on this team from the linebacker core alone, and that's a big thing. Having that flow, the team, this is going to be a heavy run team. Victoria, they have rushed for nearly 3,000 rushing yards on this season. It's not a lot of, you know, deep pass, short pass play. A lot of it is on the ground running, and they average 306 yards per game. Axel only 233, roughly. But, you know, you bring that up into a statistic standpoint. Axel, they're ending their opponents a lot quicker. They don't need to get, you know, all the way down the field. But we talk about similar matchups here. Victoria Knights, they have played Osborne. Now, they beat them in a very close game, 24-12, whereas Axel, well, we saw what they did to Osborne on the road, the playoffs 2 weeks ago. It was 54-8. So, really, if you were to ask me, I think the toughest opponent Axel's played all season was last week against Frankfurt. They got tested by the pass. I think the pass is what really, you know, puts a fight against the Eagles, and now the Eagles are going back down to the ground game. It's all about the gridiron and what can be fought in the trenches. And let me tell you, it's warfare down there with the Axel Eagles, and they know how to take care of some business.
All right. Axel and Victoria. Axel's going for four straight. Boz, you already said that, hey, it's just another game. But from a fan's perspective, we're media. We love to hype things up,
my friend.
And the ability for the Eagles to do something like that. What do you think that would mean for those kids? Because that means those seniors never lost a game in their high school career.
So it's a really cool deal because it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen that often. Those guys are going to go all the way through their high school career without losing a ball game. And I saw a stat the other day. This is on social media, so you always believe everything, right, on social media?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eli Brockstrom and Brandon Schmelzley have never, ever lost a game, a football game.
Not just high school.
Not just high school. Go all the way back to, like, third grade. Every football game they've played in, they have won.
Mm.
And I think you can kind of put the icing on top, on top. They get their fourth state title in a row.
Grinning?
All I was going to do is that was the exact thing I was going to say. That is incredible. I talked to Eric Detweiler this morning about that. He's like, you know, that's really unheard of. He's like, yeah, there's seniors who go through there all 4 years. They've never lost a football game. But this, this group to never face a loss. Now, of course, have they faced loss in other sports, basketball, baseball, of course, but football, they have been together. They have, as a team, they have united, and they have worked year in, year out since little tots, and now big tots here. Man, they have only gotten bigger. They have only gotten stronger. KU, by the way, they made a shout-out on Twitter today saying, hey, Schmelzley, great luck, and that's pretty cool right there. We actually we got some red and blue right here from Boz.
Out
here supporting.
Repping Schmelzley.
For those of you that are just listening, watching on the Facebook feed, Boz has got his KU sweatshirt. I'm in my Ravens gear, as always, like we do for every time we go out on site and on location. It's something that, that's a great opportunity for Brandon to feel some love from the school that he has committed to. But I'll tell you, as we're seeing the sunset here, we've got a game coming up at 5:30 pregame. Brandon Tavin will have the call. Crittenden has the call tomorrow on 92.1 with pregame starting at 10:30 from Greensburg. Give me your keys for the Eagles to win their fourth straight state title tomorrow.
Well, the keys are pretty simple. It is dominating the run game, stopping the run, because both teams on the stat line run. So all you got to do is get going early. I talked about the trenches, take care of business. We know that Brandon Schmelzley is going to love that pitch option game, and he's so well disciplined at either keeping it himself. He knows what a linebacker is going to crack down on him, and he knows how to get it outside. And he's so great with that connection to Eli Brockstrom. Brockstrom has just, he was a great player last year. He returns this season as an absolutely incredible unit with over a total of 700 scrimmage yards and just over 10-plus touchdowns. The kid is incredible. He's going to help that offense in the backfield.
Boz, how about you, my friend? What are your keys for tomorrow for Axel to four-peat?
I think if you're Axel, you just worry about yourself. You do what you do best. This is a very confident group. They're going to go into tomorrow extremely confident. They've been there. They've been there a ton lately, so I don't think it's anything different. I think for them the key is establish your offensive dominance early. I think if they can get on the board early, that just gets the train rolling. They really haven't been tested a lot.
Yeah.
They did get tested against Centralia a couple weeks ago.
Frankfurt
a week or so ago. But look how they responded. They still
found a way.
Yeah, so I don't think this team is
going to
waver.
And when we say find a way,
yeah.
Still a 30-plus point win.
Yes, exactly.
Go ahead. You have one more point?
Yeah, I was going to say, you actually brought Centralia. Victoria Knights have met Centralia more times than they've ever met Axel, because they've never met before, ever. This is the first time all-time meeting.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an incredible time. Again, Victoria Knights, they've won 7 total state championships. The Axel Eagles, in their history, have won 4. They got a chance to win 5, and they have a chance to do it tomorrow.
All right. Crittenden Prophet on the call for that. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Have a safe trip down to Greensburg. Hope you're going to take in this game tonight, or are you going to head on down?
We're going to head on down right now. We're going to get prepared.
All right, buddy. Have a safe trip. Crittenden, his dad Troy here as well, helping us out. Thank you very much. Again, you can listen to Axel taking on Victoria tomorrow. That is a 10:30 kickoff, a 10:30 pregame, I should say, an 11 a.m. kickoff here tomorrow on 92.1 FM. And we're going to be talking Centralia football here in just a little bit. Wade Gershner will have to join us via the phone line. So once he's in, we'll make sure to get him on here, because we're going to highlight some Centralia football as well, as they have their state title game and a tough one for the Panthers as well, as they're taking on Conway Springs tomorrow night right back here at Hutch at Gowans Field. And so we're going to talk Centralia here in just a little bit. But, Boz, before we do, I got your keys from Axel. We broke it down, I feel like, pretty darn good. But on the simplistic side of things, when the casual fans listening, I don't think they realize that Axel, we hype it up on Friday nights.
Yeah.
But I want to reiterate it, that it's the longest 8-man winning streak in the entire nation, the third longest in all of high school football across the nation. What does that mean for just communities surrounding Axel as they support the boys in blue?
Well, geographically, if you're not familiar with this area, I mean, there's a ton of small schools, small communities that are around Axel, and a lot of people rally behind this team. A lot of people understand what's going on with Axel and how good they've been. I mean, we'll be down the street talking to somebody, and the name Axel comes up, and they say they're just dominant. I mean, Axel just wins. That's all they do. It's a community affair, and those guys, they just continue to win all the time.
All right, we've got another special guest that's going to join us here right now, as we're going to have Wade Gershner on with us here in just a few minutes, but we're going to flip it back now. We're going to talk some more purple and blue. Boz, who do we got with us?
I don't even, who is this guy?
I don't
Where
know.
Do we find him?
Been a while since we've seen him.
This is, we talk a lot about who's the eldest Putt Hutt High Cooper?
The original.
Eldest, the original? Are you the OG then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's going on? Are you ready to see a three-peat here?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we can get it done today and get the three-peat.
What's going to happen today? I mean, hopefully we can get it done. I know you've got your brother playing. He's kind of lighting things up, quarterback spot. What's got to happen today?
I mean, we just got to win the game. When it comes down to it, we lose a play, we can't get discouraged. And we just got to face that adversity and be able to battle.
When you're facing off a team like a Southeast of Saline, a team that has the ability to really be a good test, what's the mindset like for the guys that are getting prepared for a game like this?
I mean, just trust your brother at the end of the day, especially at NC. Like, we're big into the brotherhood. And so just trusting your brother that he's going to get the job done and you're going to do your job.
You know, we talk a little bit. Earlier we were mentioning Nemaha. Obviously, Carter's running the ball a ton. He's had a fantastic season running the ball. But what's it mean? I mean, the offensive line. They lost some dudes last year, had to replace some guys. How big is the offensive line?
Oh, the O-line's been huge the past couple games. A lot of all five of those, they've all stepped up and just been playing extraordinary. Reese and Kime leading it. Just, I mean, you can't run without the O-line, so.
Tell me a little bit about you and your, I mean, are you telling Carter what to do? Are you giving him pointers? I mean, that's what the fans want to know. Is his older brother, you know, helping him out?
I mean, like, he'll ask me some stuff, but he's really does his own thing. Like, and if you ask him, I mean, he doesn't need to take advice from me if you ask him. So.
He is not listening to you.
No. Yeah, no.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Cooper. But tell me one final thing here, because this is something that is fun. You actually played on this field on the collegiate side of it as well. Just tell me about what the environment is like for this.
I mean, it's gonna be loud, and the wind will come through here. But I don't know if it's supposed to be windy tonight.
Not bad. But
so that shouldn't be a factor. But it's just a good environment to play. I mean, a lot of success. College has been played here, and 3A's been played here for the past how many years. So a lot of games have been won on this field. So hopefully we've made another one for the purple and blue.
All right, are you going to stand up and be, like, screaming your face off, or are you going to be chilling in the stands?
I might be chilling. Unless, like, fourth quarter,
okay.
if we need the extra energy, I might be yelling.
All right. Cooper, appreciate you joining us, my friend.
Yeah, no problem.
Go have some fun.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Boz, tell me again, who was that? Cooper, Mike, let's go. We've got Centralia Panther football we're going to dive into here now as well. We've got Wade Gershner that will be calling that game. He had last week's matchup in the sub-state round where Centralia knocked off Rossville to get to state for the first time since 2019. Wade, are you warm where you're at?
Yes, I'm nice and warm in my house watching hopefully the Chiefs close this win against the Raiders, which I know you're cheering for that not to happen.
Oh, no. I'm always rooting for the Chiefs, my friend. Just not when they play the Ravens, okay?
Okay.
But tell us a little bit about this matchup, man. It's a powerhouse-type matchup. You've got Conway Springs, who is rolling right now. They've been the state favorite since week one in the classification of 1A. But the Panthers, man, they just keep doing what they do. They haven't lost to a team in the state of Kansas this year. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, these two teams are mere images of one another. They have so many things in common. Probably the biggest difference, however, is that Conway Springs has a significant advantage with their offensive line and their size, and that's a concern for Roger Holthaus and the Panthers. Both teams run the single-wing formation. Both teams have outstanding quarterbacks. Both teams have a second option in the run game with running backs. Isaac Winters rushed for over 1,700 yards for Conway Springs. Quarterback Logan Osner's run for over 1,100. Centralia's got Jacob Plenty, who's just been a beast the last couple of weeks. He's run for over 1,500. Quentin Oliver, over 1,000. Both these teams have rich histories. Centralia's won 4 state titles. Conway Springs has won 8. They've combined to make it to the state title game 19 times, combined for 12 state championships. And Conway Springs is going for the back-to-back. It's something that they did back-to-back-to-back-to-back, 4 in a row, 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, at one point at a 62-game winning streak. And, Jake, Conway Springs comes in with a 23-game winning streak. They haven't lost since week 2 last year to Kingman. Centralia, as you mentioned, has not lost to a team in the state of Kansas. They've won 10 in a row, playing their best football of the season. And so one of the keys of this game, obviously, turnovers. Do not give Conway Springs the short field. Conway Springs was banged up middle part of the season, trailed in a couple of games at halftime. They are healthier, maybe as healthy as they've been all year long since week 1. And so it should be a heck of a game. And I would anticipate, unless the officials get flag happy, this game will be done well under 2 hours because Conway Springs runs the ball 92% of the time. Centralia runs it 87% of the time. So don't expect a lot of passing in this game coming up tomorrow. But when there are opportunities to throw the football, Centralia looks to be the team that's a little bit better in the passing game.
All right, that's going to be here at Gowans Field where we're at right now here at the Hutch Sports Complex. Wade, you got a great matchup tomorrow. Pre-game on 92.1 is at 4:30, kickoff at 5. Buddy, as you're preparing yourself for this game, you've talked to both coaches. You know, tell me about what the feeling you're getting. And people here in your pregame, I know. But tell me what the feeling you're getting is of these kids, you know, with the holiday and everything like that, with practice schedules and how the practice week went.
Well, I think from the Centralia perspective, Jake, it's pretty simple. This is a team that I think a lot of people wrote off after they got blown out against Mid-Buchanan, Missouri early in the year, 41-6. It was a team that I think a lot of people thought, they go to Colgan, yeah, good luck with that. They blew out Colgan. Then it was like, okay, that's a nice story, but now you got to take on Rossville. And they held Rossville to the lowest offensive output of the season, just 9 points. So Centralia is clicking all cylinders. They know that they are the considerable underdog in this game coming up tomorrow. I personally think this game will be tighter than what some people may believe. The thing for Centralia, just have a chance in the fourth quarter because they have experience and they've got kids that have seen state championships over the years, including that last one in 2019. On the flip side, Conway Springs is a team that is feeling really, really confident. They blew out Valley Heights last week, 55-22. It was over at halftime, 35-6. And they absolutely, their offensive line's been big, but their special teams forced a turnover. They've been solid in all three phases. And Roger Holthaus, the Panther head coach, said one of the things that people talk about with Conway Springs, their offense and how big their offensive line is, but he said they are overlooked with their defense and how salty it is. So we could see a slugfest. We could see a game anywhere like 12-6, 18-12. I wouldn't be surprised by that in this matchup tomorrow. But Centralia, I think, feels like they're playing a little bit with house money. They're not expected to maybe win, according to most prognosticators. Conway's the heavy favorite, defending state champions, trying to win back-to-back titles and also win a 24th in a row. So I think from the perspective of both teams, they're excited about this one. Conway Springs has a chance to make a little new history. They've got 13 kids on this team, actually 13 dads and 11 kids that a father-son combination of dads being state champions at Conway Springs, and now their sons have a chance to win a title or go back-to-back. So there's a rich history for both these programs, and I can't wait to see it get started tomorrow.
Man, I'll tell you, that's a really cool storyline, and that's something you don't hear very often. And that'll be great for people, maybe for a heartwarming aspect of it. But, man, we're rooting for them Centralia Panthers to get that win tomorrow and get their first state title since 2019. Just a few more minutes here with Wade Gerstner. He'll have the call again tomorrow on 92.1 with his pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 5, live here from Hutch. Wade, I just want to give you an opportunity a little bit. We talked with Crendon earlier as well as BTAD, and they kind of talked about all the games. I want to give you an opportunity to do the same as well. We'll start with the tomorrow morning matchup, Axtell trying to win their 51st in a row. How impressive is this, and what do you feel like Axtell's opportunity is tomorrow to get that 4 straight state titles?
It's all about history, man. It's all about history. I mean, you got a couple kids on that team that have never lost a game in their entire lives, going all the way down to peewee football, for crying out loud. So you got a chance to win. I mean, the winning streak's beautiful. I mean, you can make it 52 in a row. That's fantastic. That's not the important thing. It's 4 in a row. And we're talking about, you're going to talk about Nemo Central here a little bit. Nemo Central's going for a three-peat. Axtell says, we've been there, done that. They're going now for the four-peat, which is insane to think you could do. And for those seniors on Axtell, How amazing is that to go your whole high school career without losing a game? They'll be a heavy favorite, but Victoria has spoiled the party in years past. There's been some years Victoria, a lot of people overlooked them. They had a few losses during the season, maybe backed in the playoffs. One year they beat a heavy favored Baileyville B&B team. I was there to witness that one, so I would not underestimate Coach Oberly and Victoria, but Axtell's a heavy favorite, and I think we all expect them to get it done.
That's right. And then, yeah, you alluded to it. I'm going to get your opinion. We got the Friday Nighters here listening as well. We're here at their tailgate party. It's the state football tailgate pregame show, proudly presented by Giant Communications, because Jacob Boz are mobile, just like Giant. We'll be mobile at the beginning of this next calendar year. Go to GiantCOMM.net and get yourself prepared to be using the world's most reliable network through Giant Communications. Tell me a little bit about Nemaha Central and their opportunity here today, my friend, for a three-peat in a big-time matchup against Southeast of Saline.
Well, I saw Nemaha Central play Silver Lake early in the year, and I think Southeast a little bit like Silver Lake. Southeast run, they throw the football, they can spread you out. And Nemaha Central completely shut down Silver Lake's passing attack, and they had one of the best receivers in the state in 2A and Dane Johnson. So I would expect more of the same here. The only difference is Southeast might have a little bit better running game than Silver Lake did, and then Southeast is coming off a really tough win over Beloit in the ecstasy of winning on the final play of the game. So we'll see what they have left in the tank into this one. But I think you got to say go Thunder, because you got a guy in Mr. Hike, and all they know is championships. And I think I would take the Thunder in this one with their experience. I think will be big.
All right, Wade. Well, appreciate you joining in with Boz and I here tonight. Safe travels tomorrow, my friend, and we'll see you in Hutch.
Sounds good, man.
All right, Wade Gerstner, he'll have the call of Centralia tomorrow, taking on Conway Springs. That is at 4:30 pregame for that 5 o'clock kickoff on 92.1 KMZA. Bringing Boz back in now, Boz. I feel like we've got great insight for every single state matchup that we are covering this week. The MSC Sports Radio Network, we say it all year long, we are so blessed to be able to cover our local teams in the way that they are performing throughout the season. Before we get into our picks and our big-time matchups here, just tell me what your thoughts are on the ability for us. We got three more in a state football title once again.
It is such a cool deal to have so many teams in our area that do so well throughout the season, and to have three playing for a state title. I don't know there's many places around the state where that happens. You might get one, you might get two that you're going to be able to get out and broadcast and cover, but we got three. We are spoiled. There's so many good football teams around our area.
All right, we're going to break these down. We're going to start it off with tomorrow night's matchup. That's Centralia and Conway Springs. The Cardinals from Conway, a big, rich tradition that Wade just gave us some insight on. It's a team looking to win 24 in a row. They won their state title last year against a local team that we covered in the Jefferson County North Chargers. They won that game 35-6. It's a big-time matchup here because the Centralia Panthers are a team that I think Wade hit the nail on the head, that across the entire state, it was, okay, Centralia, yeah, they're having an okay season. They've had a great year,
yeah.
Have the Panthers, and it's that tradition that Holt House has continued here for Centralia, and they got a great opportunity to win a state title for the first time since 19.
Yeah, 100% right, and I Wade alluded to it. I think Centralia has just been under the radar this year. They've lost the first game of the
season.
Which
is crazy.
It is. It's insane. They lost the first game, second game.
Yes.
So I think people thought, this is not the normal Centralia team. We didn't talk enough about them, but they just did what they do throughout the season. They won football games, and wasn't a lot of hype around this team, which there should have been.
Yeah.
But I think when you kind of go through that, maybe got a little chip on their shoulder.
Sure.
You know, we got to prove some people wrong. We saw Centralia play a couple times this year. I think the key against Conway Springs is taking their first punch.
Yeah.
You've got to stand up. Conway Springs is going to come out. They're physical. They're confident. Going for another state title. They're going to come out and punch you in the face. If you're Centralia, you got to withstand that early charge. You know, get through the first quarter. Keep it close. Limit big plays. Don't let Conway Springs get out ahead of you early in this ballgame. Centralia keeps it close early, then I think they're going to be okay. Because here's the deal. Conway Springs, they've rushed the ball for almost 4,000 yards this season. They're averaging 333 rush yards
per game.
So Centralia is going to have to withstand that early blow that Conway Springs is going to give them. The battle in the trenches is going to be everything. If the D-line stands up for Centralia, slows down that running game, now they got themselves a chance.
All right, I'm bringing Crittenden back in real quick. He's seen Centralia a few times this year as well. Give me a little bit of what you expect to see in this game tomorrow night.
I'll tell you what, half the season has been with Centralia, and I have absolutely loved every last bit of it. Being with their community, being at that Pitt Colgan game, that was the game that really just got me going, wow, this is a special team with some special players. That front five unit really defines that team, that second level blocking, the way they can extend upwards with it, their timing on whether they, mostly, yes, a running team, but when they select their times to pass, they're really great times. And that's just great head coaching, knowing when to use their play calls, when to select them. And then again, Jacob Flinty, Quentin Aldefert, two great athletes. Aldefert just being a sophomore, man, this team is incredible, and they have a chance to win their fifth in school.
All right, well, I want to ask you, because you're not calling the game, Crennan, give me your prediction tomorrow night.
I'm saying the Centralia Panthers are going to take it away. Man, I love the Panthers. I wish I could be there for them. I've been there, like I said, all season. I got the state call for the girls. And man, they have had a great community, and it's great what I've seen from them. And you know what? Wait, take care of them. Take care of them boys.
And
get them a good call, because I'm excited. I'll be tuned in for it, and I can't wait to see those Panthers get a good victory.
All right, Crennan, thank you very much for that, my friend. Give me a little fist bump. All right, Boz, I need to get your prediction right now.
Okay,
Centralia, Conway Springs, tomorrow night, 5 o'clock on 92.1.
There's not a chance in the world that I'm not going to go
Centralia. Come on now.
Come on. I think they are the underdog.
Yes.
And they're backed into a corner a little bit. They're going to come back and get after it. Again, if they can handle the first quarter, keep it tight. Their defense is going to have to step up and not let Conway Springs break off big plays. I think if they do that, they're going to get a state title.
All right, so my prediction here for this contest, Conway Springs is really good. Conway Springs has done some magical things in their entire program history. As Wade alluded to, they won four straight. They had a 60-plus game winning streak in the early 2000s. Well, they've won 23 straight, but they're not going to get to 24 because of the likes of a Henry Heidemann, because of the likes of a Jacob Flinty, because of the likes of a Quentin Aldefer. This is a unit, not just individuals, on this team. A Centralia team that doesn't give up the big play. A Centralia team that is not scared from a team that might push them around. Boz alluded to the punch from Conway Springs. That's going to happen. But when you punch a bulldog usually bites back, right?
Okay, yeah.
So what happens when you punch a panther?
Oh.
A panther is going to completely enthrall you.
Maul.
Okay?
Maul
you. It's going to maul you. And so that Panthers tomorrow night, I'm excited for that game. Give me the Panthers. I'm going to say it's a close game.
Yeah.
I don't think either team's going to run away from the other. I think this is going to be a tight game. I could see it being something where Conway Springs jumps out early, but that Centralia Panther mindset, the ability of that defense to get refocused in. Roger Holthaus has done a phenomenal job with this group, and this is a team that, again, a lot of people saying they're the underdog. They are the underdog, but underdogs have a big bite as well. This Panther team is going to get the victory tomorrow night, knock off that winning streak from the Cardinals, and the Panthers will get their first state title since 2019. All right, 11 a.m. kick. This is Crittenden's game. It's Axtell taking on Victoria Bonds. We've got just about 5 minutes before we got to send it off to Brandon Tadman for his pregame show. Axtell Eagles, Victoria, they've won 51 straight. Can they make it 52?
Absolutely, 100%. So here's the deal. Victoria is a good football team. They're physical. They do a lot of things very similar to Axtell, but you cannot discount what Axtell has done over the last 4 years. This team's incredibly confident. They have so many weapons. They're able to stretch you out. They run the ball. Brandon Schmelzley at the helm. How do you go against what they can do? Eli Broxerman running the ball. Landon Schmitz. I mean, they've got so many dudes. I think Axtell keeps the streak alive, gets another state title tomorrow.
Four straight state titles. Axtell Eagles trying to make history. They're trying to maintain it. This is something that has not been done in 8-man. This is record-breaking. It's consistency. It's a belief. It's a brotherhood. It's a family, what Axtell football is. The Eagles will not only win this game against Victoria, it'll be over by halftime, long enough for Crittenden and his dad to be able to get over here to Hutch to watch Centralia take on Conway Springs tomorrow. So Axtell Eagles win big. Tomorrow morning, that game on 92.1, 10:30 with the pregame, 11 o'clock kickoff. All right, our game here tonight, Boz, we've got Nemaha Central, the Thunder, taking on Southeast of Saline. This is a big-time matchup against two powerhouse programs, Southeast of Saline. Big tradition. B-Town talked about the ability for them. They could have been here the last couple seasons. They didn't. Nemaha, they've won it two straight years. Can they make it three?
Yes, they can. Absolutely, they can. We got all the Nemaha fans are starting to pile into the stadium. You're starting to get that feel. We're getting real close to tip-off. But I think
kickoff.
I said tip-off.
It's basketball.
Basketball's around the corner.
We got a couple more days of football.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple more days.
No, here's what's going to happen tonight, I think, with Nemaha. They are going to have to win the battle up front. Like we talked about it earlier, the offensive line is going to play a massive, massive role in this game, more so than they have all season long. But you mentioned the streak. You mentioned just keeping that streak going, getting the third straight title. These boys are not going to stop. They're going to win this game tonight.
I want you to give me that list once again of this offensive line and the line for this Nemaha Central team. The big guys up front typically don't get the love that they deserve. Go ahead and give them to me.
We talked about it on the Scoreboard Show last week. I've done a poor job all season long talking about all the dudes that put up the numbers. These guys work their tails off in the trenches. Abram Keim, Hendrix Wall, Reese Garrity, Kyler Gamstrom, Daniel Childress, Eli Sudbeck, Logan Dieters. Those dudes don't get any hype. They don't have any stats. You could look at maybe pancake blocks, but that's not something you see a lot. So these guys right here, they have led this team to close to 4,000 yards of total offense.
Those are the guys up front. We call them the big uglies, okay? These are the dudes that we've got to get going. They will get going. And this is a good Southeast of Saline team. We're not downplaying that at all. This is a Southeast of Saline team that they know what they're doing. This is a rich tradition program. But here's the different side of things. Fate is on the side of the Thunder. This is an opportunity for them. Yeah, week one, they fall to Marysville. Everybody in the state, and I mean everybody in the state except for the local sports authority, was shocked by that. And they thought, okay, Nemaha's –
they're done.
They're done.
Yeah.
They lost too many players from a season ago. What does Nemaha do as a result? They just win every game since then. And sometimes it had to be a close game.
Yeah.
But those are those things. You know what pressure does? It makes diamonds.
Oh.
Okay? And diamonds are something that you can find when you're working hard. This group works hard, my friend. This group is led by a great senior class. This is a group that is led by the reigning offensive player of the year, likely to get it again. And Carter, Mr. Hut Hike, and you're going to see a lot tonight from Coach Gladsick, a young coach, a young coach that not only has taken over a program, but you know what? He took over, and he has an understanding like his dad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. His dad, a great coach for Centralia for many years, and he's brought that mean, that grit, that angst, if you will, on the field. Flip that switch. The Thunder will roll tonight, and they will get the win tonight against Southeast of Saline and get the third straight state title. I got to cut it off right there, folks. We really appreciate you all joining us here for our lead-up to the pregame with Brandon Tadman here on 103.9 as well as Facebook Live. It's all been presented by Giant Communications. Boz and I are mobile because Giant's going mobile. Online at giantcomm.net, the world's most reliable network, will be with Giant Communications and your opportunity to take advantage of that after the first of the year. Make sure you go to giantcomm.net to learn more. Boz, let's go in and let's go take in a good ball
game.
Let's
go, Thunder.
All right, Thunder will roll. Hey, thanks so much to Kirk Hillman back in the studio, Troy, Crinden, Wade as well. For joining us, and BTAD, he will be on your dial here in just 5 minutes. Stick around. We've got state championship football on your local sports authority coming up next here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.